Gentlemen, good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's fun to have you here. Todd Streeter.
Todd Streeter, yep.
Bob Robbie.
Roby.
Roby. Yeah. And you are here. Well, tell them why you're here. Get everybody caught up.
Well,
Laura, you were here a few weeks ago. A couple months ago.
Yeah. You and I had a conversation about an upcoming downtown revitalization effort for downtown Cambridge. And that was an aftermath or an adjunct to the Minnesota Design Team visit that was doing some work back in April. And what we did is the city wanted to kind of dig deeper into what it would take to revitalize downtown Cambridge. And I'd worked in other aspects of this before with other communities. So
In Stillwater,
that's right. And so we were able to form a downtown revitalization group that had been working since September to come up with all sorts of very creative, unique, and exciting ideas for downtown. And we are now getting ready to unveil some of those ideas and concepts to the community on February 2nd,
okay,
which is Thursday. And that's going to be the Downtown Community Open House. It's going to be at Sidelines Sports Bar and Grill. And this will take place between 6 and 8 p.m. So what we're going to be able to do is have presentations. We're going to have some maps. We're going to have some other activities taking place that are going to give the community an opportunity to engage with this group and let them share with the, you know, with the community what they've discovered through this process and the ideas they have. But we also want to make sure that we get as many ideas from the community as possible to make sure we're not missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great time. It's kind of billed as, you know, create your own downtown. So we really want the community to come down that day, that evening, and really share with the group what other ideas and what would really make downtown unique for them.
Can we talk a little bit about the process from the last time to this time you were here? Because it wasn't just, you didn't just throw darts at a dartboard and say, well, here's some ideas. It's been a very labor-intensive, serious production that you've had to go through, that you've gone through.
Yeah, well, Bob and I had a chance to talk even before we kicked off this group, because he was involved with the design team visit and very helpful with our stay here. And I said, you know, there is a process that is a bottom-up process. It's where the business community actually defines and does the research as to what would make downtown a thriving commercial district. Because, you know, we talked before, downtowns are very challenged with big box stores, new commercial development, internet commerce. You know, they're kind of becoming, you know, more in the rearview mirror than they are in the windshield.
Yeah.
So we have to think about almost anything and everything we can do to make them more relevant and make them a permanent part of people's traffic and buying patterns.
The shopping pattern has changed.
Absolutely.
And to bring them back home to the, you know, like I always say on Monday nights, I do a show and I talk about local business and small business. And there is no such thing, I think, as a small business. They're local businesses, but there's nothing small about these businesses. And now in the world market, this is a big deal. I mean, internet alone, access to things like that.
Well, and back to your point before is that this process is a working group mm-hmm. process, and that's not necessarily the norm when cities want to undertake certain
right.
projects. So I'll let Bob comment on of his observations.
Yeah, I want to find out how you're involved and how you got involved, Bob.
Sure. I've been living in Cambridge since 1995. My wife and I moved up here from the cities after going to school and starting our family down in St. Paul. And we were attracted to the Cambridge area. We didn't know anybody here. We were looking for, well, we're both from smaller towns. I'm from Duluth. Becky's from Granite Falls. And we want a place where our kids can ride their bike around the block and not have to worry
sure.
that they're going to get, you know, taken out by a drive-by. So we chose Cambridge as a community for no other reason than for its own merits. And we looked at the schools, we looked at all these things. We had, you know, the pace of life and just getting away from the stress of the metro area. And we've never regretted it. And at the same time, we encountered some of the, we kind of became part of the fabric of the community and encountered some of the challenges that were going on with Cambridge's growth. We weren't alone in being drawn to the area because, I mean,
no,
I'm an attorney by trade, a mediator.
Cambridge was, I've also worked as a pastor.
Sandy County was the fastest,
pastor
well, 11th
well,
fastest
and,
growing county in the nation.
Conflict resolution.
So it was,
that's my trade,
but
the growth
was
I thought,
just
you know,
staggering.
I need to step into the ring
and it was difficult for, how do you, have, you know,
how does
the city council
and
a
local
meet this challenge? And so I got involved
to that kind of growth.
Leadership development
and not feel like
land and stuff
getting run over. By development that you're really not behind, you're not fueling that yourself.
Right.
It's coming at you, and it's like, wow, we have to have some intentionality here. So I got in, and then I got involved as a chamber board member and chaired that group for a couple years. And it was from there that I ended up being asked to chair a task force for the downtown. By a city council member, and that was about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my involvement there kind of led to bringing the design team up here, and then processing what was done, realizing that past efforts at doing this had not succeeded and had created some real challenges for people to actually try again, because you can come up with grand ideas and wonderful visions, and if you don't have the real steps that would be required to implement them, especially in a community like this.
You, as somebody who has lived in the community, of course, brought Todd a unique perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though a lot of the challenges, I think, for our smaller towns, our rural towns, are similar, I can only assume that every location has a unique challenge.
That would be correct.
That would be,
yeah. That would be correct. I mean, there's always a baseline of similarity. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all experiencing the same pressures from commerce or lack thereof. But every community has a very unique fabric, and there's multiple colors on that fabric, and they make the quilt of what the community is, and every community has a different pattern. So it takes a little bit to figure out what that is, understand it, what the strengths are, and where the opportunities are, and then you kind of plot a process or a course accordingly to get it through.
Well, and that's what I found unique from our last conversation was it's not necessarily a cookie cutter way of fixing situations in smaller towns. That's why it's in stages.
Well, that's right, and the one thing that we did with this group is we put together a mutual community assessment that we were able to organize with Pine City, because it's not the challenge that even members have on a committee like this and the work that they're doing is it's hard for them to be overly objective mm-hmm. within the community in which they live. Or the business district where they have their own business. I mean, they drive it every day. They know the people who own the other businesses. They have their likes and dislikes mm-hmm. about downtown, like everyone would. But you don't see it for what it is as a person who's coming there for the very first time.
Are there challenges unique to getting? You talk about people having their likes and dislikes. People outside of the committee. Are there challenges in getting everybody's perception, on the same page of what a small town should be?
Yeah, what I bring to this conversation as a mediator is that I know that if in a micro level is if you can what if two people are going to agree on something, they need to arrive at a shared narrative,
mm-hmm.
a shared way of telling the story and talking about the topic. And that's really, as a mediator, that's what I do. I look for that third narrative that isn't going to pit one against the other, that you're right and you're wrong, but a new way of talking about it that both can buy into, that recognizes and reflects having heard them, that what their interests are, concerns, whatever, and creating that narrative that resonates with the group itself. And that's something I do for a profession at that level. Todd does it at a city level,
sure.
And so the pieces that are needed to be part of that narrative, were something he's familiar with, and so that's been the thing. We were just talking on the way over here about the need to continue to press for the strategies that will include the community in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because we did, the design team did that. There were 150 community members that had actual input on the design team's ultimate report. And we can't stop doing that at any point. If we do, the ownership shrinks again.
Correct. Yeah.
And that's what creates mm-hmm. the silos mm-hmm. and, you know, the inability to move forward with the whole community. So it's that's kind of what we're seeing.
Well, and Laura, getting to your point, too, is that it's not easy to be, like I said, objective with your own backyard. So we were able to make arrangements with Pine City, and there's a group of about 8 people that will come to Cambridge, and they will assess downtown per a litany of criteria.
That's a nice relationship to have. It has to be a blessing.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, it's a win-win for everybody.
And we just did our assessment of Pine City with about 8 people, and I hadn't been there before. I was part of the team, so I was seeing Pine City for the first time, mm-hmm. you know. And that's when you see things that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And it's objective viewing. Certainly it's subjective because I'm saying what I think, and that would be subjective. But it's objective because I'm seeing it for the first time and I have no history. Right. So when you have visitors coming to any downtown, be it Cambridge or anywhere else, if they're there for the first or second time, they're seeing it for what it is on the outside. And sometimes that's not good. So having people come and do that assessment is incredibly valuable yeah. feedback, because that helps the argument and the discussion that the city and the working group and everybody is having, because now they have a third party yes. that came in mm-hmm. and said, oh, gee, I guess you're right. You know, maybe we should be doing this, or maybe that isn't really all that great. and now it's objective because mm-hmm. it is from a third party that's not at the table.
It would seem almost critical to me to have that relationship. We have Carl Peterson, the mayor. He comes in once a month, and we talk to him about Pine City and their growth. And a lot of their challenges that I hear him talk about are some similar to what you talked about with Cambridge, and very different on the other side of it, too. So again, it's that, I don't know, there's a balance. Maybe it's that yin and yang of of brotherly city love.
Well, I think,
I don't know,
you know, that narrative, too, has to include how welcoming are we?
Yes.
And if
yes.
you know, we have to ask that question, and the community has to buy into the idea that we need to do whatever it takes to be welcoming to people if we're going to be a thriving, you know, city. And it also reflects who we are. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're unwelcoming, nobody in Minnesota wants to be unwelcoming.
Truly, you know, the last thing Minnesotans
last
want
thing,
to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I went to the Pine City assessment, I was up. I'd been there 100 times over the past 3 years because mm-hmm. I have business up at the courthouse. I had no idea that there this little hardware store a block off the main drag existed, mm-hmm. and yet I would have gone to Pine City just to see that place.
Yeah.
You know, so some of the things like this were eye-opening to go, you know, it's the visitor perspective, you know, you have to sell the idea that matters to the people who own the process. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not a hard sell once you get that third-person perspective and what the impact is on people coming through, because, you know, it's the difference between being a destination and being a drive-through.
Yes. And I can imagine, and this is just, you know, me questioning off the top of my head, the big box stores, they're a reality. And they're a reality that we face. How do we do that and keep our downtowns alive?
That's been kind of an ongoing discussion with the group, because we've got about 5 subcommittees focused in specific areas, and from experience, the one committee that always seems to have a hard time is the proverbial business mix committee. You know, what do we want for businesses downtown? Because it's an awkward conversation in some respects, because they probably already have a business downtown, and they know that other people that have businesses there too. So, but in explaining it, it's more like, you have to figure out what downtown shouldn't be. You got to realize you can't compete with big box and new development. You have to be the alternative. You know, you can't be what you've been, because that's getting lost in time, almost literally. So you have to reinvent yourself. You have to, and to do that, you have to repurpose. And so to repurpose means you have to take some things out and put some things back in. It also means that you have to look at your infrastructure and your physical appeal to downtown, which could have faded over the many years. So you have to figure out, okay, what do we have to do to bring it current, bring it back into what people expect today? You know, I mean, in a recent conversation with one of the groups, it's like, you know, we have to be willing to bring in new businesses downtown, because after all, everything east of Highway 65 is where all the new businesses are coming into town.
Yes.
That's where all the people are going. We have to do the same thing. We cannot be afraid to mix it up downtown and really start creating a buzz and start making downtown relevant again for anyone who wants products or services or good places to have food or beverage or entertainment.
Or anything. Yeah.
So, but it's a difficult question to answer. You kind of walk through the wilderness on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the general map is, at least from my perspective, is if you can't compete with national brands and big box, then you have to be the antithesis of that. You got to be the opposite. But you also have to figure out how to embrace the character of your downtown and make it a place for community. Nobody goes to big box to hang out with community. Mm-hmm. They're there to get something done, get back in their car, and get out of there. Mm-hmm. So you have to be the place where you want to be, where community gathers. So you have to repurpose downtown that way.
One of the things that I mean, again, from my perspective, it's, you know, how does the conversation go with that whole thing? And, you know, the problem is that it's been a narrative of criticism and, you know, just criticalness that, you know, oh yeah, look what they're doing to our downtown. It's this victim mentality.
Yes.
That you have to like, go, okay, how long are we going to continue talking about it like this? And when are we going to shift to a compliment? How is it complementing? How can we complement the east end of town and make it work for us? Because you know what's happened? That Walmart out in Cambridge has eight times the market share of the average Walmart in the state of Minnesota.
Really?
They are drawing so much business to our area. So what are the obstacles? Why aren't people leaking over into downtown?
How do we pull them? How do we pull them over the tracks?
So we have to look at wayfinding. We have to look at the problem of the tracks as a barrier, because all of that benefit could be actually feeding people into the downtown if two things happen. One, the physical barriers are dealt with, and two, destinations are created.
Yes.
And so it's not, we have to stop, we have to move the conversation, you know, redirect it from a complaining narrative to a complimenting narrative. And that's part of the challenge too. And that, you know, we've made some progress on that.
In my history, people will go out of their way to come to a small town to experience the small shop, whatever it is. They can go to the big box stores on their way up. And so that is not the destination, what I'm hearing you say, that really needs to be focused on anymore. Well, we need to let it go.
That's a key word you used, experience.
Yeah.
Well, to build that instead of the old mindset of, well, you know, selling a product and getting enough business. But creating an experience has to be what downtown becomes good at. And that's some of the stuff we're working on in these committees.
Well, and again, it's about perception, and that's always a bit of a challenge too, because when big box comes in, they're pretty much buying, you know, farmland and things where there isn't a history. Mm-hmm. You walk into a downtown that's been around for 100 years, and you talk to some of the more senior population, if you will, they're going to have a history of downtown that's going to go back 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And they can retrace almost every store that's been in a particular building. That's great. That's awesome to have that history, and that needs to be logged and noted somewhere and kept alive in many different ways. The only thing is, though, is that a future of a downtown can't be about its past. It has to be relevant today. And that means change has to happen. And there'll always, always, always be a segment of the population who doesn't want to see change. And even from the city perspective, cities, they have many different roles, but one of their roles is to provide for the future of the community. And while they aren't intricately responsible for downtown's success, as a partner with downtown businesses and other organizations, they can then prepare downtown for its future, which means it does have to change. That's where you get that conversation and what you question you asked earlier.
Yes.
are there people who don't get excited?
Yeah.
And yeah, there always are people who don't get excited. But they've been there, they've done that. And quite frankly, a lot of what you're trying to do to make downtown relevant again and make it for the community and is you want seniors, you want people from 8 to 80 to enjoy downtown, but your shopping patterns as a 75-year-old are a lot different than a 25-year-old. And that's where the challenge is for downtown, is to try to dial up all the different levels of businesses and attractions and activities that appeal to everybody within that spectrum of life. And, you know, again, that's not easy, but I can guarantee you Big Box isn't thinking about this stuff.
No, they don't have to.
So downtowns could have the corner market on this if they're willing to take on this kind of project that Cambridge certainly was, and then build the other pieces of the puzzle to make it all come together and happen.
We're talking about phase two, and we're starting to get close to the top of the hour. So I want to make sure we go over again exactly what is happening at this next meeting and how people can get there and where it's going to be.
Yeah, like I said, this group's been working since September, meeting every week, and we have now developed our ideas and concepts to the point where we want to have a great conversation with the greater Cambridge area. And so we put together this Downtown Revitalization Open House. It's going to be on February 2nd. It's a Thursday. It's going to be at Sideline Sports Bar and Grill from 6 until 8 p.m. And we're going to be our subcommittees are going to be there. We're going to be having conversations with the community because we want to make sure that we have as many ideas and topics and suggestions from everyone who would be interested in seeing downtown be a great place to come.
Well, you'll be hearing more about it on KBEK because we've got you here. I'm going to make sure that you record a little something before you leave, and then we'll be talking about it too. Is there anything else we need to say before we wrap up?
From my perspective, I just want to say this has just been a great experience working with everyone on that working team in the city. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved watching them scratch their heads from the start and then come up with these great ideas.
That's great.
As we have now. And then I should just mention that we will be doing a final presentation on March 23rd at the Cambridge High School. It's going to be in the evening, I believe, at 8 o'clock.
All right.
So, of course, we want the community to come and see everything in its final form. I think it'll be delighted about a few other things that we're working on to make this all happen, too.
And maybe around that time we can have you back in again.
I'd love to do it.
I think that's a plan.
Great. Yeah, you know, we've loved having Todd here. We got to kind of vet the members of the design team when they came because they stayed in our homes.
All fun.
So we all took notes and said, let's see if Todd wants to come back. You know, it's been an amazing gift to our community just to have this process go forward, and Todd's expertise has been amazing. So these two dates are really, I hope people can jot those down and continue to engage. The more people we have in this process in the community, the better, because that'll increase the ownership. So,
I think it's a wonderful thing. I have a passion and my heart is in local businesses and Cambridge. I spent many years there, so I'm very excited, and I kind of wish I could come to this meeting, but I don't think I can. I am planning on coming to the final meeting, though. And like I said, I'm hoping I can have you guys back, one or both of you, to discuss further as we get closer to the deadline.
Love to do it.
Thanks for having us today.
Thank you, Bob.